Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 7 of Hebrews. I'll begin by reading. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like to the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, out of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witness that he lives. And as I may say so, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arise another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitability thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in a better hope did, by that which we draw nigh unto God. And insomuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said to him, the Lord swear and will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were made priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the people's. For this he did once, for he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now let's go down and break that all down, see what we got. This priest Melchizedek in the first verse, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met with Abraham returning to the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Abraham blessed this man. Abraham, as far as the Jewish people were concerned, was the greatest ever was, right? He was the first Jew. He was called the father of the Jews. He was the big man. And yet this man decided to do something. No one told him to do it. Okay? Remember, no one told him to do this. And you can go back into Genesis 14 where this comes out of, where he blessed him, and he said he gave a tenth of all that he had. Now, immediately, the church tries to use this to beat you up about paying tithes. And they'll quote some of the other Old Testament, well, under the law, you know, that you're robbing God. Yeah. See, here's the big picture. This is something that I don't teach on, and I can't get around it because it's in the book. So I don't go here all the time. Anybody that's been around here very long knows I don't speak about tithes. You know, God will take care of that end of it. But he says to the second verse, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Didn't say some or part or anything. He said he gave a tenth part of all that he had. First being interpreted the king of righteousness and also the king of Salem and the king of peace. He's without mother, without father, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. And let me see if I can find my Living Bible. There it is. And I want to read that to you out of the Living Bible. It's a really pretty good interpretation. Sometimes that Living Bible does a pretty good job. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay. Let me find it there. Melchizedek had no father or mother, and there is no record of any of his ancestors. He was never born, and he never died, but his life is like that of the Son of God, a priest forever. Says it in language we can understand, okay? And that's the main thing, getting it where you can comprehend it. Reading King James language really doesn't give us much of an understanding many, many times, does it? I mean, it just, your mind can't wrap around things you don't understand. And some of it just can't be understood because of the misinterpretations. Okay, verse 4. Should start out saying, but, it says, but now consider, but should say, but discern. Discern, what does that mean? What would the word discern mean to you different than the word consider?
Make a decision.
You're making a decision, but you're really getting into the thought process. Consider something, you think a little bit, but discern talks about something more on the spiritual side. You know, we have a gift of discernment. I mean, he's saying, operate something here spiritually. Okay? Let your spirit start filling in some of the gaps here that you're missing. Instead of filling them in by ourselves, that's like that those cherubim do, let's let them go. So he said, but discern how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. And the word spoils here is a different word. It means first fruit. That's kind of it's a Greek word here for first fruit. I can't even say the word akratha inyon or something like that. But anyway, it means first fruit, the top of the heap, or the best of the spoils or the crops. That's what the Greek language there means. So he gave him the best of what he had. Okay? He didn't give him of the moldy corn in the bottom of the barrel. Moldy grain. And he says in verse 5, and verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of priesthood have a commandment or an order to take tithes. Now, I'm gonna call your word, your thought to this word take tithes, because it's a word, and I won't say the word, but it's number 586 in the Strong's dictionary, Greek dictionary. And a little bit later, we'll come up with it again. Down here, the word receive tithes in the next verse, and it changes everything. But this word take tithes literally means to go in and grasp it and take it away from you. And under the law, if you did not give your tithe, what would the priests do? They'd come to your house and get it. There's some that'll do that today for you. Okay?
Come right over your TV screen.
Reach right through it. Well, it'll come right to your door and get it too. You didn't give any money this week, so you're in trouble.
Still some people that believe that even if they don't go to church,
they mail it in. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, they tell them that.
I'm talking about locally.
Oh, I know. But they get told that. But anyway, these priests that's made of men, they take your tithe of the people according to the law. And again, it's the law when they take it from you. It's the law. That is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. Even though they're from the seed of Abraham, they still take from them. See, Melchizedek did not take from Abraham. He received what Abraham gave him. As we'll get in the next one. Verse 6, he says, but the one that genealogy is not counted from the natural, received tithes. This word here is another different word. It's 1183 in the Greek dictionary, which means they received willingly whatever was handed to them. They didn't say, that's not enough. I've literally been in places where they took, received the tithes and offerings, they said, and when they got done, they'd count the money and then say, there's not enough, do it again.
Yeah.
And they run it up three times until they figured they got enough that they wanted. That's taking it. And they'd be condemning people and watching you when the basket go around like a hawk watching a mouse. You know, play another song and that preacher center and look at you as it goes by, you know. Make sure you, how come you didn't put nothing in there? I didn't put it in the first time, I ain't gonna put it in the third time when you're doing that to me, you know, so. Anyway, they counted them that received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. See, the big difference is, and there is no law today, am I right? See, there's no law of tithing today, but there is a law of giving. If God is in your heart, what did God do? He gave. What are we gonna do? We're gonna give. We're gonna support what he does. Yeah, that's right. But no one can make you do anything. You've got to understand, this is something you do on your own. And he said, you'll receive, you know, as you give, you'll receive, right?
But that's not all his money, actually.
No. It's lots of things. You know, your time, your effort, in many ways, there's ways of giving back to God. He give you 24 hours, how about giving him a few hours a day, you know?
Setting an encouraged time.
Yeah. Yeah, take your time to take and help some waitress out here that's struggling to make a living to eat. And, you know, spend some time with them. Yeah. Now, if you gave money to them, that's not a tithe. That's an offering. Yeah. That's an offering. Or an alms. Excuse me, that's an alms. That's an alms. But that's okay, too. And we all should do that. And from time to time, those things happen. You just find somebody's in need, and you know you got to do it. Whether you have the money or not, you got to do it, and you just do it. And if you do it, you usually start, something turns around, and it all comes back anyway.
It's all coming from the thought process.
It's all God's anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Just do what you know is right, okay? But don't let anybody say, you have to do this. And I've heard preachers stand up and say, if you don't give money to this ministry, you'll go straight to hell. I've heard them say it. I mean, but that's under the law. And if they want to live under the law, they can be cursed if they want to.
They're in condemnation.
That's how they get it.
Don't give because that's from your innermost being.
Give it from your spirit.
Not because of fear and intimidation.
Nope. Okay. Verse 6. No, we got that anyway. 7. And without or apart from all contradiction or dispute, the less is blessed by the better or the greater. So he's saying the least man, Abraham, was blessed by the greater man, Melchizedek, who was a Christophany. It was Christ. And as I may say also, Levi also who received tithes, and literally the word received is not there, it's took tithes, okay? Who took tithes, paid tithes, not in, but through Melchizedek. It's the word dia, means through. So how did he do that? His seed was in him, was in Abraham at the time. So when Abraham paid tithes, you know what he did? He paid mine too. He paid yours too. Does that mean we don't do it? No. This means we still give what God put in our heart to give. But still, he took care of all of it, didn't he? Took care of everybody. Okay. Verse 10. Because he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. See? Levi met met Melchizedek while he was still in the loins of his father. He was still a seed, but he met him. You think maybe we're talking spiritual things here? I think it's a possibility, isn't it? If therefore perfection or completion were through the Levitical priesthood, because under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? He's saying, if perfection was under the law, then what's the need of another priesthood? Why would there? Actually, that word right there, priesthood, it speaks of the priest, not the priesthood. Okay? The priesthood being changed, in the next verse says, the priesthood being changed, there is made or it becomes a necessity to change also the law, correct? Is that right? If the priesthood changes, the law's got to change. We got a different priesthood. He don't know the law.
It was Christ before, it's Christ now.
Yep, but they messed it up with the law in the middle. And actually that word law right there in verse 12 at the end is the word nomos, which means the law of Moses. Okay? It's not the spiritual law.
It still was the law of man. Right?
Yep. I'm reading something here, isn't it? Okay, let me read this verse 12 again because I left something out that I needed to put in there. Because the priesthood being changed, there is from out of a necessity a change. And right there at the word change, there should be some added words here. It should be a change to the heavenly also of the law. From the natural carnal laws to the heavenly laws, the spiritual laws. You can't mix those two things together. He said there's a change, so when you change the law, you also got to change into the heavenlies. You change from one to this one. This one's passing away, we got a new one, a higher order, a spiritual order.
And that's what religion is doing, they're trying to mix both.
They're trying to take it and mix it all together and call it Christianity. They actually call Christianity Judeo-Christian. They call them Judeo-Christians. Judaism and Christianity, they try to mix it together. See? So, mixture's not good, because only flesh and blood enter in, okay? Okay, what did I leave off with, 12? Okay, verse 13. Because he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Because it is obvious that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Not evident, but obvious that he sprang out of the tribe of Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning a priest. Not the priesthood, but a priest. He never said anything was going to come out of there. Moses never said a thing about this priest coming out of the tribe of Judah. And it is yet far more evident if, after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of carnal or pertaining to the body or earthly or perishable thing, commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. And literally, the word endless life here, the word endless means it means a permanent, not subject to destruction life. A life that cannot end. Okay?
Would that be Antonius?
No, that's not the same word. It's akatalutos. Akatalutos or something like that. It's a different word. 179 is the number on it. It doesn't have an end, right? It cannot be destroyed. It's saying it in a different way. You know, it's saying it's forever, in age abiding, but this is saying it cannot be destroyed. Still saying the same principle. What? Okay. It's just a different word they used, but still have the same thought process in it. Okay, verse 17. Because he testified, you are a priest into the ages, is what it should say here, according to the order of Melchizedek. For there is truly a cancellation, not an annulling, but a cancellation of the prior commandments going before because of the weakness and the uselessness thereof. The law was weak. It could not make you perfect, could it? That's why he said it has to be, what was the word? Canceled. The word has to be canceled. We have to go to the higher level.
But in the churches today, they think the law, following the law, makes you perfect.
Right, and it says very clearly, it does not make you perfect. Galatians and here in Hebrews 7 also. Verse 19 goes on and says, because the law made what?
Nothing
perfect? Well, why are they trying to live under the law today if for the last 6,000 years they haven't been able to do it? And it still hasn't done it. You know what that definition of insanity is, right? Doing the same thing day after day after day after day and looking for a different result? There they are. They get their wheels spinning in the sand, you know. But the bringing in of a better hope did. See, it did make something perfect by which we draw nigh to God by this new hope, this new covenant. We can draw nigh to God. And insomuch as without an oath, he was made a priest. He didn't go through all the rituals like the Old Testament priest did. God just said, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. End of story.
Isn't that, those are italicized in mine.
I know that, but it's implied.
So doesn't that just go on with 19 and to
20?
Yeah.
Sure. Verse 21, because those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said to him, the Lord swear and will not repent or regret what he's doing, thou art a priest into the ages forever, or into the ages, after the order of Melchizedek. That is a direct quote from Psalm 110, verse 4. He said, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made not a surety, but a pledge of a better, not testament, but covenant. That word is covenant. I don't know why they put that word testament. They call them New Testament, Old Testament. It's Old Covenant, New Covenant. That's what the word actually says. So by so much was Jesus made a pledge of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. He said there had to be bring in more all the time, right? Because they were dying off. If someone dies, they have to have another one. Isn't that just like the Catholicism today? If one dies or backs out, they got to find another one. They got to make a new idol. I'm sorry if it offends them. That's okay. I want to read this to you in the New American Standard.
Verse 22.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost there. Here. No, it's verse 23 I wanted to do. Okay, verse 23 here, where it says, in the New American Standard says, and the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. They had to keep having new priests because they died. They're in the natural carnal realm. Everything here does what? Dies. Everything in this realm dies. So that's why they had to have a lot of priests. Now we don't need a lot of priests. We just need a lot of obedient sons, okay? Verse 24, but this man, because he continues throughout the ages, it should say, has the unchangeable, not an unchangeable, but it's again the word the, definite article, the unchangeable priesthood. Didn't it say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Did he say in Malachi, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed?
Christ.
It's the Christ is what it's all about. And this Christ ministry never changes. It will never change. Verse 25, wherefore he is able also to not save, but deliver. At his death and burial and resurrection, he saved us. But now through his teaching and his examples that he showed in our life, he is able to deliver us from this carnal thinking, this lie that was implanted in our mind, that the lie that we bought, that we were not sons of God. He's able to deliver us to the uttermost or to completion, that come to worship the God, through him, through Christ, seeing he, what? At all times lives to make intercession for them. The reason of Christ's living and being right now is to bring intercession for us to God. So what should be our goal? To bring intercession for the rest of the world to our Father. Didn't Jesus tell his disciples, why are you making something over what I'm doing? You're going to do greater works than I do. Jesus only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said so himself. He come for the first fruit to get started. It only takes one seed to get it started, doesn't it? When that seed gets started, it starts getting, when it pops up and makes a whole bunch more seed, they can spread them on out, and they can spread them on out. And that's what it's been doing throughout the ages. And that's what our job is, to reach the rest of humanity. Okay? If it sounds too big for you, you need to look and read the book again, because that's our destiny. If we can't, how can we let some little situation in our life take us off course and then say we're going to win the world for God? Yeah. What can take you off your course if you know who you are? Tell me. Nothing.
You
don't have, see, confident people scare the hell out of people. They're afraid of you because you don't fit the mold. That's okay. You're not supposed to. God only made one of you, didn't he? He made one of you. You have a specific duty in your life to do one specific thing. That's all. Don't try to do what everybody tells you you got to do. Do what you know God wants you to do. If you do that, you're way ahead of the ball game. Don't care what anybody thinks about you. Just do it. See? Just do it. It's intimidating to religious folk when you're free. Don't worry about that. Our big brother already took care of that end of it. He took care of it. Don't worry about it. Okay, verse 26, right? Because such a high priest was right for us. Oh, I like that. Where it says became, it should say was right for us. You get that? He was right for us. Who is holy. He's harmless. That means he's undefiled, pure. Undefiled is another word there. Unsoiled is what I should say, not harmless. He's unsoiled, undefiled, separate from, not the sinner, but separate from what?
Sin.
Come on. He came to save the sinner. How could he be separate from the sinner? He hung out with the prostitutes and the druggies and the drunks. You know, come on. See, this translation can take your mind off, way off somewhere up on top of a mountain, make you holy, see? Make you think you're holy. But he went down and got to the lowest dregs of the earth and got them all.
Separate by sin thinking.
Yep.
When you say that, though, don't you, myself,
yep.
I don't see prostitute.
But that's what they use in the scripture, I'm saying. That's they expressed
not
it.
Sin. That's not a sin.
No, I understand that. But that's what people saw as sinners. See, if they didn't follow the law, the letter of the law, they were called sinners. So that's why they translate that in here, because they had a religious mindset when they did it. But he was separate from sin. He never sinned. He was with sinners all his life. The whole world lies in sin, it said. Right? So he couldn't separate from that, but he could separate from the sin thought process.
Yeah, I was going to say, they should have focused more on the heart of man instead of the outward things.
Well, but religion don't know how to do that, see? They're not awake yet, dear. You know that. Okay. And made higher than the heavens. See? He made higher than the heavens. Who needs not daily at those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sin for the people's. Because this he did once when he offered up himself. See? Today they're offering sacrifice on Easter Sunday. My God, they're doing it all over the world. Why? There cannot be another sacrifice. The law was fulfilled in Christ. There's no more sacrifice, period. I can't even sacrifice myself.
It's because they're
still living under the law. And the book says if you live under the law, you're cursed. Go to Galatians and read it again if you don't believe me. It's what it says. If you live under the law, you don't fulfill every letter of that law, you are cursed.
How
see?
Do they justify that to me?
Go ahead. How they justify?
Well, they're saying they live under the law, and I know under one of the laws was you have no idols or no worship anything else. But then, along with their Easter celebration, they're including Easter bunnies or Christmas Santa Claus.
Right.
How do they justify?
Well, because in their mind, the preacher has told them that's okay to do this because this is part of it. And it's not. The rabbit was also an unclean animal, and they're using it as a form of worship in these Easter things. Rabbit was a symbol of adultery and fornication because it didn't hold with one partner. It bred with many partners. So it's a symbol in the Bible as an unclean animal. And they're using all these unclean symbols. They don't have a clue what it's about. It's just a good story. See, just like Jesus' birthday being in December 25th, he was born in September at the Feast of Tabernacles. They don't have a clue, and it's like anything else. people will be quicker to believe a lie than the truth. That's just the way it is, isn't it? You can lie to somebody and they'll say, oh, that's cool. Wow. And tell them the truth. There ain't no way that could be true because it doesn't go along with the majority. But see, God's not democratic. He's theocratic. Theocratic means what he says, and that settles it right there. There's no discussion or argument in it. And they can't handle that because they have a democratic thinking process. Religion, most of religion has a democratic thought process. They'll vote on how what's right or wrong.
It's easier for them to swallow the lion.
Yes. They'll strain at the gnat and swallow the camel. You know, that's what they do.
I just could never understand, you know, when you see like they go through all the
rituals
of, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection, but then do an Easter egg hunt.
Well, first of all, we've said it 1,000 times in here, I know, or more. They're not yet awake. So the natural mind is capable of anything and everything.
Even natural, I mean, but...
Because they're not thinking.
Where's their logic?
But there's no logic involved. That's the whole key. So you have a mind that thinks, Lisa. So you've got a mind that is aware of some things, and you can reason with yourself, see? They can't do it. Many people are scared to be on their own. If I have to go out there and live by myself in the middle of no place, I can survive because I know that God is resident in me. I know who I am. You know, I can do it. I wouldn't like it, but I can do it. Many people cannot survive unless they have a whole bunch of people around them in a great multitude to say, yeah, you're right, brother. Yeah, go on. Yeah, safety in numbers. See, Jesus didn't draw his authority from great numbers, did he? He drew them from one. And that's what we're supposed to. And they can't do that yet. And see, I used to be upset with people like that, all this false religious garbage stuff they're throwing out. But now I feel sorry for them because they feel sorry for me. Oh, I feel so sorry you don't do Christmas, you don't do Easter and all this stuff. I said, you're the one wasting all your money. You know, I could be bankrupt like you too if I did your stuff. Well, I'm just saying that's just one of the issues. That's what they're after. But they say it's about spiritual. It's nothing spiritual about it. It's all pagan stuff that came up. You know, Christmas, I mean, when they started, they said they started on the equinox, which was the 21st, not the 25th, and they moved it to the 25th for another reason. You know, it's all, if people would just go research history, they can find this stuff. But see, they don't have the drive to go get it because they'd have to admit they've been wrong. And there's that ego thing. And that ego won't let you admit that you're wrong. See, if you've got a lot of ego, you're not going to hear the truth. I had a saying, I wrote it in my Bible someplace, I can't remember where it's at right now, I'm not even going to go looking for it. But it says that a man who is honestly mistaken, once he hears the truth, he's either no longer honest or he's no longer mistaken. One of the two. Whether you believe it or not, that's not my concern. If you've heard it, then it's on you now. You know, that's your business. And if you don't want to believe it, they don't want the responsibility is the big key. They don't want it. So, I mean, I understand what you're coming from. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around how they can do those things and not see it, but they're blind and deaf. They're doing things.
You know, how they're using their own teaching to scare people. Believe,
yeah.
You know, if they're going to go by the law, mm-hmm. It says very clearly, you know, so how are you? Where's the loophole?
They're making them.
Yeah.
Hey, those cherubim will make loopholes for everybody.
They haven't been permitted to go on. The
yeah, they just haven't been permitted. That's right. Yep. Yep.
What Jesus, when the disciples asked him, why do you speak to us?
In parables.
Why do you speak to them in parables and to us you speak plainly?
Yeah, because it's for the children of the kingdom to understand, the rest is not.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's all. And they're here. See, most of the time we're concerned about somebody else, about trying to help somebody, and that's natural to try to help somebody. But see, most people don't realize that the people that come in your life, they're not in their life for them, they're in there for you. People come along, kick you in the shins, mistreat you, do all kinds of things, you know, deceive you, cheat you, steal from you, whatever. They're in there to check you. They'll check your attitude. How are you going to respond to that person, see? How are you going to love that enemy that wants to take you out? How are you going to respond to it?
I like the ones that come in your life that use religion.
Yeah.
I talk to him every day. I pray every day. And I still can't understand why I'm in this mess.
Well, there's reasons. Plenty of them.
The Word of God two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It should be an opportunity for them and for you both.
It says there's life and death in the power of the tongue.
If they don't choose to go with whatever God's way, or they have their eyes and ears haven't been opened up, I mean,
yeah,
that's on them. But it's your responsibility to change to go with God. I mean, you know, we're...
I said for years, it's not your way, it's Yahweh.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's again, yes and amen. No matter how hard it is to swallow.
Okay, got one more verse here.
Okay.
And we'll keep on going, but I'm going to get this verse in.
Yeah.
It says, verse 28 says, because the law makes men high priests which have infirmity. And that means... They make high priests with infirmities. And that means of the mind or the body. That word does mean mind or body. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, it came after the law, makes the Son, who is complete or perfect forevermore. He made him a priest forever. And you know what? Everybody sees that the Son. Who do they look at? Huh? They look to Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, there's a many-membered body of Christ, not just one person. He was the first of many. That's what this book says. He's the first of many brethren. And Jesus clearly said, do not worship me, worship God. Another place he said, do not worship me, worship the Father. He said, I am your elder brother, your older brother. See? And people's got it all wrong. So when I read that Son, I'm in there. When you read it, you've got to see yourself in there. If you can't see yourself in there, then you're separating him from you, are you not? Remember in Matthew 5, 18, is it? Let me turn there. We got something we got to do in Matthew 5, 18. And this is not my idea. This is in the book. Okay? 5, 18, I believe it is. Yes. This is Jesus speaking. He said, because verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law, in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Okay? So what he's saying is, look, it's a concept. When I say heaven, what's everybody do? When I say earth, what do they do? Look down. Well, guess what's in between them? A great gulf, a great separation. It's a concept in our minds, in our thinking. It's supposed to be spiritual thinking, but I won't use that word. It's religious thinking. Religious thinking has God up there and us down here. And he said, until heaven and earth pass, or this concept of separation between God and you, nothing from the law can ever pass. It's an impossibility. Until they realize, this is God in here. Until you can see this. God's in here. I am part of that Son. Until you can see that and not be ashamed to say it. See, people say, well, if you confess my name before men, then I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. See, that's not even what they're talking about. Confessing his name is his nature and his character. Until I show his nature and character in front of people, and I don't care what they think about me, that's what he's saying. Until I can live my life like I'm supposed to, the same way he walked it out. I'm not afraid of what people think about me. If I did, I'd already be dead and buried a long time ago. Because there are plenty of them like to bury me. I don't care, but see, they have no control over it.
They don't even listen, like, you can't one breath say, God's all loving, all forgiving, all perfect. And then the next breath say, he's going to curse you, he's going to be mad at you, he's going to...
But they do, don't they? Sure they are. Sure they are. See, and that's the thing. See, we can see the difference. And see, until we see the nature of God's love being unconditional, even if I make a mistake, yes, he will correct me because he loves me. He said he will correct every son that he loves.
See?
He'll correct every son. He loves every son and daughter. He'll get them all. But he's got to correct you first. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But he doesn't hate you. He's not mad at you. The concepts of this anger and violence toward people. See, the words, it's orge and thumos are the two Greek words that they use for anger. And what's the other one?
Huh?
No. Anger and... No, that's the right words for it. Anger, and there's another word that they use. It's a violent word. And it's not truly
wrath.
There it is. Anger and wrath. And it should be passion and desire. You change those words and see a difference. God has a passion for you. Yeah, I know that. He loves me. He's going to come after me. If you have a love and a passion for someone, you're going to go after him, aren't you? He's not going to destroy us. He's not mad at us. But see, even in the Old Testament, when they wrote these things about God, they wrote them from a carnal concept. They didn't know how to interpret that law. That's why Paul, when he wrote this stuff like we're reading today, he wrote this stuff from the view of the Spirit of God. Paul knew who he was. He said, I was an apostle born out of season. He knew he was the Son of God. That's why he could flow from his inner being those understandings. And he didn't write any new thing. He only gave an interpretation of the Old Testament laws. They did it a carnal way. Paul did it the spiritual way because it was a time. There was a time for the law. And like Galatians 4 says, we were all under the law until the time appointed of the Father. See, God's got a timing for us to go through this thing. There's a need for it. Every bad thing that's happened in my life has improved my life. So it wasn't really bad. It was really a good thing. It was a God thing. I didn't understand it going through it. If you understood ahead of time, before you went through those rough issues in life, you would try to change them. See, now you just embrace them. Give thanks to God in how many things?
All.
Oh, you mean the bad ones too? Yep, all of them.
That's tough to get started on.
Sure it is. But if you don't start swallowing that, start assimilating that into your body and taking it in and getting it into your spirit and realize this is my Father correcting me because I had some wrong thinking in my life, you're never going to get there. Because he said until this concept of separation, like in Matthew 5:18, you're never going to go anywhere. You're going to stay under the law until you get this concept. We're together. We're one.
Another way, if you don't learn your lesson, I'll keep giving you the same examples over and over.
How many times did the Jews go around the mountain? For 40 years?
Well, people don't realize the test is not for God, it's for you.
Absolutely.
You know who we are.
God's already perfect.
Figured out.
God's already perfect.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
You are.
That's right.
Well, what I like about it, you know, when I figured that one out, and he ain't trying to teach me anything, he will.
No, he's not trying to do anything. He's doing what he wants.
That's right.
And that's a wonderful thing. And when you acknowledge that to yourself,
you guys are being
when you acknowledge that to yourself, things totally change.
Yeah.